You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Bundle up, everyone. Hope you're staying nice and warm today, wherever you may be. Welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM, the midweek edition here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, your KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. Ben's our producer on the other side of the glass. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me from the southwest side. Great show for you coming up today. We'll talk college wrestling. Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, joins us in about 10 minutes or so. Plenty to talk about as Iowa gets ready for meets coming up this weekend against the Minnesota Golden Gophers and the Purdue Boilermakers in the Big Ten. And we'll talk about that. No Spencer Lee. And other things, college wrestling-wise, with Mark. And then Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us, and we will talk and wrap up the Iowa football season with Scott, look ahead, and, of course, talk about the big news today coming out of Iowa City. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well at 319-366-1600. As we want to talk a lot of things to discuss here on the program here today. First and foremost, Mark, I hope you have a heater if you're on the back porch today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, always, and is operating wonderfully, and I'm thankful for that. I'm sure everybody bundled up today, but did you bring a medium jacket to work?
It's in the parking lot in the car. I didn't feel it necessary. You know, you don't take the Stanley Cup around a lot of places, things like that, you know, and the medium jacket is here.
It's chilling outside.
It is chilling outside as we speak. So it'll be good.
Okay.
Yeah, we buried the lead, didn't we? We have a Bowling Night in America preview, and there is nothing bigger in sports. I was trying to explain the significance of Pin Pals versus Rusty Nails to Spencer in the sports office before we got started today. And, TV rights being bid on, things like that, it's immense. It is immense, and it will be revisited tonight. We are in possession of the jacket, and we will try to keep the jacket tonight.
Well, there's few better trophies either. I mean, you've got Floyd of Rosedale, and you got the medium jacket.
Indeed.
I mean, no comparison. Spencer's just going to have to go out to May City and witness this.
Oh, well, there you go. Spencer, you have an invitation to come out. Anyone, you know, Ben, you want to come out? Want to see some bowling tonight? Oh, he's shrugging the shoulders. He didn't say no. That's a solid maybe for Ben. We will need all the rooting interest we can get. Yes, and I know the Whittles are listening. And best of luck to them coming up tonight. 319-366-1600. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit on the Wednesday edition of the show. Big news out of Iowa City today, Mark, as it was another recruiting win, I guess, for Iowa. As far as football is concerned, it's not a new recruit coming in. It's keeping a veteran as All-American, All-Big Ten cornerback out of Ankeny Centennial. Riley Moss announcing that he is going to stay. He is going to come back for another season of Iowa football. And certainly that makes a Iowa football team that was looking to be very strong going into 2022 an even stronger proposition, doesn't it?
No question about it. I mean, this defensive backfield is going to be absolutely loaded next year should everybody decide to return. I mean, you've got guys like Dane Belton and Kevon Merriweather, and, you know, there was 8 defensive backs that intercepted a pass this year for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Terry Roberts returning from injury. That'd be wonderful. And then you throw in Xavier Wampa, the highly touted freshman coming in from Southeast Polk, who you got to believe will be in the mix somehow, some way. But frankly, I don't think Moss is ready for the NFL. And perhaps he got that information scouting around today. You know, he's all over the board. But most folks believe he's 6th, 7th round pick. And so maybe wise for him to return. Also just out, courtesy of David Eichholt, Ivory Kelly Martin, the running back, will not return for a 6th year for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Perhaps he saw what the Williams boys did in the bowl game and has had enough. But all intents and purposes, Kelly Martin seems to have been a great teammate for 5 years.
No doubt about it. Very good leader out there for the running backs room, and certainly has had his share of injuries, this and that. Yeah, he had some fumble problems, no doubt about it. But as far as off-the-field leadership, things like that, an A-plus as far as Ivory Kelly Martin is concerned. And, yeah, he's going to get ready, as he mentions, on his Twitter account for the NFL draft. So Moss back, Kelly Martin not coming back as far as Iowa football. We'll talk about that with Scott Docterman coming up in about 20, 25 minutes or so here on the program. 319-366-1600. So Moss is coming back. And like you said, the Iowa secondary and the Iowa defense is looking very, very stout going into 2022. Punter back as well with Mr. Taylor. So don't forget about that out there. Basketball coming up tonight. Iowa State in action. The Cyclones hosting the 25th-rated Texas Tech Red Raiders at Hilton Coliseum in Ames. Iowa State dropping the game to Baylor, their first game out of the chute as far as the Big 12 is concerned last Saturday. We'll have it tonight, 7 o'clock, 1600 a.m. and 102.3 FM for you tonight. And that should be a very interesting game. Mark, Iowa State, you don't want to say this is a must-win situation, but boy, oh boy, we talked about the first 6 games for Iowa State. They're going to beat Texas Tech twice in the first 6, and this is the one at home. You've already lost a home game. You're Iowa State, and you start off 0-2 in the Big 12 with both losses at Hilton. That's suddenly kind of throws a little water on a very, very hot start. Doesn't douse things, certainly, for this season. But if you're Iowa State and T.J. Otzelberger, you want to come out with a win tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a similar situation to what Iowa was facing the other night against Maryland. Iowa 0-2 before the calendar flipped in the Big Ten, and much needed win in the Big Ten. And I think Iowa State really has to be very anxious to get into the win column in the Big 12, especially being at home.
Yeah, so I think that's a big one. Also, UNI at home tonight. They will take on Valpo at McLeod Center. That is an 8 o'clock tip-off. UNI, with the win last time out, looked very good at home, and they will try to go with another home victory coming up this evening against a Valparaiso team that's 8-6. UNI coming in at 5-7. Austin Fife getting healthier and healthier as you move along. So should be it's a winnable game for UNI coming up tonight. We know that. And the Panthers, with the writing on the wall, they've got to win the MVC tournament to probably get into the NCAAs as far as the Mo Valley is concerned. And if your name's not Loyola or possibly Drake, you better win the MVC tournament. So that is an 8 o'clock tip-off tonight from Chili Cedar Falls coming up this evening as basketball back in action front and center as far as the college ranks are concerned. We're going to take a break at 3:14. We'll come back, and we're going to shift our focus to college wrestling. Mark Ironside will join us, and plenty to talk about. Is Iowa back on the mat? Who's going to be out there for the Hawkeyes coming up this weekend against Minnesota and Purdue? We'll talk with Mark after a weather forecast and this short break here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And a winter weather advisory continues today due to strong winds and a bitter cold. Those strong winds will lead to blowing snow, keeping the roads slick through much of the day today. We also will have wind chills down well below zero throughout the afternoon. Later tonight, though, the winds do back off, but temperatures then drop down below zero. Wind chills will be around negative 20 to negative 25. We'll then have sunny skies tomorrow, but bitter cold with a high temperature just around 3. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code HANSON200, HANSON200, when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that you can redeem for rooms and dining at any MGM resort. BetMGM is proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON200, Hanson with an O, to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Nothing beats a win at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. New customer offer, 21 years of age or older to wager, Iowa only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It'd be nice to carry Lynn County REC around in your pocket, huh? You know, if you want to pay your bill.
It's right here in my pocket.
Want to check how much energy you're using any time of any day?
I'll just reach into my pocket.
Report an outage.
In my pocket.
Energy rebates are the latest from Lynn County REC. You guessed it.
Pocket.
It's that simple. All you need is the Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Then you can pay your bill, check your daily energy use, report an outage, etc., right from the phone in your pocket.
In my pocket.
If you're app savvy, just pick it up in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And if you'd like step-by-step instructions, that's a snap too. Get them at LynnCountyREC.com, or even easier, hit up YouTube and watch Lynn County REC's Smart Hub video. Once you've got it ready to go, everything you need from Lynn County REC is right there in your pocket.
Pocket.
See how easy that is? The Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the handy benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Back in the gym class at KGYM at 3:17. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Been on the producing side of things here today as the gym class takes you through this 3 o'clock hour on this Wednesday. And I want to let you know before we get to Mark here that coming up this Sunday, it will be the Z102.9 wedding show. And that will be at the Doubletree by Hilton Convention Complex in downtown Cedar Rapids. Event is going to open at 1 o'clock. Fashion show starts at 3:30. And everything as far as planning your wedding, as far as your family, whatnot is concerned, take a look at that. Enjoy samples, visit the booths, what have you. That'll be coming up this Sunday, January the 9th, at the Doubletree by Hilton Convention Complex. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you as we bring Mr. Mark Ironside in, the Hall of Famer, former Hawkeye National Champion, to talk college wrestling with us on a chilly Wednesday. This would be a chilly Wednesday in the deer stand, man.
I was in the tree stand the last 3 days, and I timed it just right. I was not in the tree stand today.
I don't blame you one bit.
I'd be hunkered down somewhere in a blind or a tent or something with a heater on a day like today.
I don't blame you one bit. Don't blame you one bit right there. Well, the news came out over the weekend. We talked with KJ about it a little bit on Monday. Get your thoughts about it as well, Mark, with Spencer Lee coming out in his Twitter account saying that you know, even Spencer Lee has his points where you just can't make a go of it anymore. He tried it, was very successful down in Florida, but he, his family, the Hawkeyes, they all believe the best route right now would be for him to sit out the rest of this year. And your thoughts, what's that mean, and what's that mean as far as the national title picture now?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to be talked about there, a lot of different viewpoints. It's very, very unfortunate, obviously, for Spencer, first of all. He's going for his fourth national title. That had a lot to do with him coming back this year and trying it, and that's out of the picture now, unless he would get a medical red shirt, and I don't know if he'll even want to do that and want to compete, again next year or not. I don't know. That's yet to be determined, but obviously in his mind, he does not feel comfortable competing with the way that the knees are, and the progress has not been as good as what they have been in the past when he's had torn ACLs and tried to rehab them, and they just haven't come back like they have in the past. And there's nobody knows someone's body better than that person. And at the end of the day, it is what it is. Whether you want to say that, it took this long to try and figure it out, why wouldn't you just had surgery back in March, or April? There's a lot of things there that, you don't know. I mean, nobody has a crystal ball. And so they're going to go the route and have surgery, try to repair him and get him ready for, the world and Olympic level. And as far as Iowa goes and the national title run, to answer your question, everybody's been watching Drake Ayala wrestle, following Drake Ayala. You're not going to see him on the mat this weekend, it doesn't sound like, but the kid's a stud. He's right there. He's All-American material, if not national champion material. The kid keeps just getting better and better. He's not Spencer Lee, but at the same time, it's not like we just have a huge, gaping hole at 125 pounds now. We're very, very fortunate and blessed to have a guy like Drake Ayala waiting in the wings in the lineup. I wish we had, 10 Drake Ayalas in our lineup.
Yeah, Jesse Ibarra is going to be the 125-pounder, at least in the probable lineups today. And, Mark, I didn't think it made much sense if you're going to take the red shirt off Ayala to face Patrick McKee. He just faced him in the scuffle and put up a good match against him. But this is kind of reminiscent of Spencer Lee's freshman year, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Redshirt coming off after Christmas. You brought up McKee. He wrestled McKee great in the Southern scuffle. He was actually ahead in that match, and he struggled on bottom, and they knew that going in because he wrestled him at the UNI Open earlier, and he got beat by him. He was getting beat pretty handily by him at the beginning, and he battled back. This time he did a great job. He had a couple different shots on McKee, slide bys, and he's right there with him, and he's right there with the rest of the country. And both, Purdue, they got Schroeder in there at 125 too, and he's ranked as high as fifth. And I think it's smart of Tom, probably not to wrestle him this weekend. He just saw McKee. Schroeder's tough, and it's kind of hard to come out in your home debut in the Carver Hawkeye Arena, against competition like that, and you don't want it starting to get into his head, losing to someone three times in a row. But he could potentially beat him too. But if he beats McKee, well, then now McKee might have something to work from there as far as the Big Tens. And I just think it's smart of Tom, which I know that you always want to put your best team out on the mat, but I think it's smart of Tom probably not to wrestle Drake a third time against McKee already this year. And I think it benefits us to, wait to hopefully see him in the Big Tens or Big Ten finals.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota and Purdue coming up this weekend. We'll get to that in a moment. As far as the lineup, you mentioned Ibarra right now is listed at 125 anyway. And now Brennan Swofford, the kid out of Minneapolis, in there at 174 now for Iowa. And get a chance to see what he can do, right?
Yeah, you know, he's another guy that we got in our lineup that you're probably going to see a lot of in the future. He's a good kid. He's a good wrestler. You know, everybody's wanting, he's an Iowa guy. He's out of Minneapolis, Iowa. And, you know, I guess he is a senior, so you might not probably see him in the future. But yeah, he's been around as long as he has. I just haven't seen him because I just think he's younger. But, you know, the big question is where's, you know, Michael Kemmer? I don't think there's anything wrong with Michael Kemmer. You're going to see Michael Kemmer. And where's Nelson Brands? I don't think there's really anything wrong with Nelson Brands. Something's wrong with Nelson that they're not wrestling him. I just talked to Bobby Telford yesterday about it, and Telford said he's fine. He's fine. Not a big deal. He's fine. People just blow up about stuff. And so it's nothing to be alarmed about. But at the same time, you're giving a guy that's a senior an opportunity to get on the mat and, you know, have some fun in Carver Hawkeye Arena in a big duel. And that's something that Swofford will, you know, have for the rest of his entire life, is that opportunity to wrestle out here and against Minnesota in a sold-out crowd in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And I'm super excited and happy for him.
Well, anytime you wrestle Minnesota, the highlight is Gable Stevenson. Apparently, he will go on Friday night against Tony Cassiope. And looking back at the history of these matchups, I think Cassiope wrestled him to a two-point decision his freshman year, but otherwise there's 9-4 and this and that. Cassiope looks different. Is he different enough to battle with Stevenson?
We're going to find out Friday night. And that's the only way to find out. I think that, you know, Stevenson hasn't been wrestling very much, only the home duels. I don't think his conditioning is going to be top notch. So I think that, you know, Tony Cassiope, if he can stay in there and fight with him and battle with him, not get put to his back early, that it could be a match. And this is an opportunity, I mean, him to do something good here. And even if he doesn't win, but really maybe kind of close that gap and make it a competitive match. And Tony Cassiope has nothing to lose. That's the thing about Tony Cassiope. I mean, he's been pinned once this year, which was kind of a fluke deal. He's wrestling an Olympic champion. I mean, what's he got to lose? To go out there and wrestle. And the biggest thing with Tony Cassiope, like we've talked about in the past, is the kid can wrestle. It just. And that's what I personally want to see out of Tony Cassiope.
Mark Ironside joining us here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And Mark's appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. And thanks to Kurt, he's located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. See Kurt, thank him for sponsoring our wrestling talks here on KGYM. Minnesota comes in. You take a look at things. Going to be another big test for Caleb Young again. He's got to go up against a real good wrestler in Brayton Lee. Other than that, what do you see with the duel between Iowa and Minnesota?
Well, I see it, like you mentioned, Caleb Young. He's got two really tough matches this weekend. And he struggled this year. I know that some people are down on him, but this is an opportunity for him to really, you know, he turned the corner. I mean, it's after the first of the year. It's a new year now, and he could just kind of start things off right, and he could have some fun with this and do some good things here. But he's got two really tough matchups this weekend. So it's kind of like the Caleb Young weekend. He's the one that has the biggest matches. And as far as the duel with Minnesota goes, you know, we could win this lopsidedly. And keep our border brawl belt and really treat the fans to some exciting wrestling and to some big wins and some major decisions and tech falls and bonus points. And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping we don't come out, we don't just win this one, you know, each match by regular decision. It's kind of hee-ho-hum. We just kind of do what we need to do to win. And that's kind of how we've been wrestling throughout the season so far. We need this as – kind of like I was talking about Caleb Young. We need this as a breakout dual meet to start something new, kind of refreshed. And it's a new year now, and we're getting into the Big Ten season, and just kind of come out and let some sparks fly.
Yeah, and this is the last opportunity for Iowa fans this weekend in these Friday, Sunday duels to see their team until the Penn State match in January.
Yeah, and then after that, I think that we're done. I think I can't remember for sure, but we might have one more home duel.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
Yeah. But we don't have a lot. So this weekend we got an 8 p.m. on Friday night, and then we have a 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, which is perfect. So the Iowa wrestling fans who haven't seen wrestling for a little while, I mean, they're going to be they should be packing the house this weekend. Big time, and seeing a lot of good wrestling, and have an opportunity to go out and drink some beverages and have some dinner and some lunch and just make a great fun weekend out of this. And then next weekend we travel to Northwestern, I believe, on Friday, and Ohio State on Sunday, a Friday Saturday road trip. So back on the road with the boys, it is.
Yeah, back on the road. Also a chance with Purdue coming in. Hope he gets listed as an OR at 184, but the former Western Dubuque product, Max Lyon, for Purdue, he, in his senior year, a chance to come back and wrestle in Eastern Iowa one more time. So I hope he can make it out to the mat coming up on Sunday afternoon.
I hope so, too. It'd be good to have him out there and have some guys from Western Dubuque come down and see him in the state of Iowa, and it's his senior year, and, you know, he hasn't had the best of year, and but it'd be an opportunity, good opportunity for him to be able to, you know, kind of his senior year wrestle in his home state and in a big, on a big stage. And I hope they wrestle him.
Mark, is Ayala clearly the number two 125 pounder in the room if you have Spencer Lee in there?
Is he the number two?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Hands okay. down.
There you go.
No doubt. No doubt.
There you go. Well, in a bar, I'm with you. I think a bar is going to be fine. And he's going to take the mantle at 125. No, it's not Spencer Lee. Probably not going to have the 20, 25 points or whatever at the national tournament that Spencer Lee could have brought. But whoever is there at the end when the dust settles, they're gonna be fine. They'll represent things well.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Drake Ayala. Ibarra could have a rough weekend this weekend with McKee and Schroeder. You know, but he's capable of being dangerous and doing some different things. He just needs to get more basic fundamentals going in his arsenal and hit more, you know, offense earlier on. But that's how you learn. If you're Jesse Ibarra, you're looking at a shot here where he comes out and he wins both these matches, and you know what? The coaches might start scratching their heads a little bit. So good for Jesse Ibarra that he has an opportunity here to see if he takes advantage of it or not. So, but regardless, I think Drake, at the end of the day, with the dust settles, like you said, it's probably going to be Drake Ayala, and I wish we had 10 Drake Ayalas in our wrestling room.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, stay warm, my friend, and should be great atmospheres Friday night and Sunday afternoon. Military Day Sunday afternoon as well against Purdue, by the way. So keep that in mind. I know Tom and Terry love having the military days.
Yeah, they do. It means a lot to them, and they're very patriotic guys and people, and they represent the USA extremely well, and that's one of the reasons that we have Military Day at University of Iowa Wrestling Program, and there's a lot of people in the military that follow Iowa Wrestling, so look forward to that day, and it's a special day for a lot of those veterans and the people that are still serving, and I know that when Tom and Terry Brands are wrestling, they used to, you know, wear American flag stickers on the side of their headgears. That's how patriotic that they are, and we love them to death for it.
Yeah.
Mark, there was a quick question in the text line. New recruit, I believe they're referring to the number one ranked 170-pounder in the class of 23, apparently is headed to Iowa. It'll be in the same class as Ben Keeter.
Yeah. Yeah, we just signed him. He's from Georgia, I believe. And he just announced, I think it was yesterday maybe or the day before, I can't remember. But it's a big, big deal. Number one recruit in the country, that weight class. And that's what we need. We need You know, Michael Kemmer, he's already a grandpa. We can't have him in the lineup as a great-grandpa. So, you know, we need to keep recruiting guys and getting guys in there and up and down all the ways. And that's where Ryan Morningstar shines, our kind of our head recruiter. And then Tom and Terry go in and they close the deal. But that's a big deal for us as a big recruit.
Yeah. Not a lot of big-time wrestlers out of Georgia, but there's one right there. To get so that
he's gonna be weather shocked when he on days like today. I know that
we all are weather shocked. Hey, what's is Polar Plunge on the schedule this year?
It is Arctic Plunge. The Hawkeye Wrestling Club Arctic Plunge is on the schedule for January 29th, the day after the Penn State meet in the afternoon at Brown Deer Golf Course, and I'll have more information on that. And I am way behind the ball. I haven't even started my fundraising yet. But I will be getting on that probably next week. I just kind of have to clear my plate and get a day ready for that.
All right. We'll talk more about that next week. Hey, Mark, appreciate it, man. And we'll talk next Wednesday.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark Ironside joining us. And his appearance brought to you out there by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And plenty to get to. We're going to talk to Scott Docterman coming up here in just a little bit. Mark, I want to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. And we'll have our Emil's Hideaway pick six coming up this Friday for you. Chance to win a $25 gift card. What do we have on the scoreboard?
Away we go. Speaking of wrestling, Iowa State's match at Arizona State this coming Sunday has been canceled due to COVID issues in the Sun Devil program. Gary Rima, friend of both shows, has been named the FCS play-by-play voice of the year. And congratulations to Gary. Has done a great job for years and well-deserved honor. Finally, as you know, Scott, primetime golf this weekend.
Woohoo!
As the PGA Tour gets underway with the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. That gets underway tomorrow with a field of 38 players. John Rahm, your favorite. If you like Stewart Cink, Scott, you can get him at 15,000 to 1.
That seems to be high odds, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right, thanks, Mark. Do appreciate that. We're going to take a short break, come back, and Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us right after this.
It pays to parlay with Elite Sportsbook. Receive a 50% bet match up to $25 every Sunday in January on your first four-leg parlay. That's an easy $125 in free bets up for grabs in January. Plus, new signups can take advantage of their first bet being risk-free up to $500. Download the app today and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Sick of waiting for your furniture to arrive? Menards has the furniture you need in stock. Plus, you get a free rug. That's right. Buy any upholstered living room furniture at $299 or more and get a free 5x7 area rug. That's $149.99 in savings. Need a new chair? How about a sectional, a new recliner, or loveseat? Buy one today. Get a free rug. Hurry up. Get to Menards before they're gone. In-store only while supplies last.
Save big money at Menards.
And we're back at 3:38, gym class for a Wednesday here on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we will have Chris Liss of RotoWire.com on a Thursday edition of the show as we get ready for the final week of the NFL regular season. Fantasy football questions for Chris tomorrow. Usually, I know, appears on Wednesdays, but Chris is going to be on with us tomorrow on Thursday. And then the coach, Kevin Lehman, for the Off the Glass segment. We'll talk about tonight's Iowa State-Texas Tech game. And you and I, Valparaiso, will take a look ahead at Iowa and Wisconsin coming up tomorrow night from the Kohl Center in Madison. So that'll be coming up on the Thursday edition of the gym class. Very pleased to bring on Scott Docterman. Read his stuff at The Athletic. Does a terrific job covering the Iowa Hawkeyes as he joins us on the midweek Wednesday here in Eastern Iowa. I told you to please bring back some warm weather, you and the rest of the media folks that went to Orlando. And this has got to be a shock to your system, man.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I guess I was happy to be acclimated in St. Louis for about, 15, 16 hours, where it was only in the 20s as opposed to the below zeros that we're getting here. But, yeah, I'm going from 85-ish on Saturday to now is quite the shock to the system. And I think there's a lot of people that have kind of had to deal with it just like me.
No doubt. Well, a big win today on the recruiting front for a returner for Iowa. Surprised or not surprised Riley Moss is coming back?
I'm a little bit surprised, especially after he accepted that senior bowl invitation a few weeks ago. But as he explained back then, that the reason why he did it was because he had a deadline to meet. He figured he'd accept it and then think it over, and then he could drop out, which is what he did. And it's a heck of a win for Iowa because you're talking about one of the best secondaries in the country. He had 25 interceptions, led the nation in that category. He was the most in school history. And you've got the Big Ten defensive back of the year deciding to make a comeback. And, he had some, issues with his knee, tearing the PCL and, kind of fought his way back. I think he didn't play quite as well after the injury as he did before, but that's kind of understandable. So I think in his case, he figures he comes back, has a healthy year, and puts up some more statistics. And I'll say this, that it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's got 10 interceptions. He's eight shy of tying the school record held, that was originally set by Niall Kinnick. So I think, that's something that could potentially happen if he has a full season at Iowa.
Someone lesser, Ivory Kelly Martin, not going to return for his sixth season with the Hawkeyes. And Martin was never a star. He did score six or seven touchdowns for the Hawkeyes, but from what I hear anyway, he was just a tremendous teammate. You've been around this team not only this year but for a long time. What will Kelly Martin's legacy be?
Yeah, it's definitely his impact more so in everything he did, along with playing. He was a pretty good player, but just the selflessness that he displayed so many different times. I mean, he played as a true freshman in 2017, sometimes playing in the slot, sometimes running the ball, and on kick returns. He was the primary kick returner that year until Amir Smith-Marset had a pretty good run of it late, and then became one of the best in the country. But all of those things, plus just the way he worked behind the scenes, you can't measure what he did last year when Iowa was going through its situation with racial bias. He was one of the first African-American men to come forward to talk about it, to stand behind the program, to work with the program. He was a captain for the majority of his senior year, early on especially. He did so many different things that once his playing career ends, it very well could end in say, August in a camp or maybe a few years down the road. He'll have a tremendous career in life, and that very well could be somewhat connected to football. He's really a stand-up guy. It leads by example. He's everything you'd want in a person, let alone a football player.
Scott, before we get to looking ahead at 2022, let's look back a few days now to digest how things went in Orlando after the loss to Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. Certainly a game that had it was a roller coaster. It had its highs, it had its lows. I guess your final thoughts on how things played out at Orlando.
Yeah, really tough loss because I think they played well. And offensively, even though they only scored two touchdowns, I thought that they actually put together one of the better games offensively that I've seen all year, especially running the football. You felt like, okay, this team's really been able to do that. There were some obviously costly turnovers, some mistakes here and there that just really killed that team or killed the opportunity to score points. But Overall, I didn't think that was a really bad performance. I do think that whether it's there has been so much negativity associated at the quarterback position by fans that anything negative there gets kind of almost blown out of proportion. I thought it was a unfortunate situation after the fact, how many people really went after Spencer Petras. He didn't have a great game, but he didn't have a horrible game. I mean, the last interception was really bad. The two previous ones, one was a tipped ball, and those happen from time to time. The other is a Hail Mary at the end of the half, and you're glad that he at least got the ball off. So I didn't like the response from people towards him at the end. But overall, I thought it was a tough, well-played game against a really good opponent that they just showed up on the wrong side of the score. And if it wasn't for a couple of big plays that they gave up on defense, they would have won that game.
Keegan Johnson did not play in that game. I don't know if you have a health update on him, but more than that, I thought it limited Iowa's passing game to a certain extent. You had Arlen Bruce, and you had Reganey, and you had Laporta, and you had Charlie Jones, but curious, obviously you have Keegan Johnson and Bruce coming back. What does that position look like next year?
I think they're in good shape next year. A lot of that depends on whether Charlie Jones comes back. And I don't really have an update on Keegan Johnson other than it was kind of surprising not to see him. And then apparently he had some sort of an abdominal issue overnight, and that's what kept him from playing in the game. But I think, when you have Arlen Bruce, Keegan Johnson, Nico Reganey, didn't have the best game, I thought, the other day, but he's been a quality player for a long time. If they could get Charlie Jones back, I think they'd have, that's four pretty good receivers, coupled with Brody Brecht, who's had a really nice year on the scout team. I think they'd be in decent shape. Now, if, say, Charlie Jones elects to go on and go to the next level, or if somebody else maybe hits the portal, I don't expect that to be Bruce or Johnson by any stretch, but then I think they might need to look at the portal to see if there's somebody who can come in and at worst be a rotational guy, if not maybe be a starter. And so I think that position's in good shape. I agree with you wholeheartedly that not having Keegan Johnson was really a limiting factor in the passing game. Sam Laporta played his best game. They did well in a lot of their screen passes, maybe better to the running backs than I'd seen in a while, but not being able to connect on the outside a lot, I think, was really an issue for the team on Saturday.
Yeah. Scott Docterman joining us from The Athletic here at 3:47 on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Everyone out there in radio land is probably going, okay, ask about the quarterback position for next year. So we'll ask about the quarterback position for next year. As of now, Petras and Padilla are back. You got Labus in there as well. We don't exactly know if there's going to be a competition. That's not been at least publicly said by Kirk Ferentz. You got that. You've got, of course, people howling as far as the Iowa offense is concerned with play calling by Brian Ferentz. It sets up for a very interesting couple months before the start of spring football anyway. And in 2022, you really can't even predict how things are going to play out because you don't know how the portal is going to work. You don't know who's going to be coming in. You don't know who's going to be leaving. And that makes it a lot harder for guys like you to figure things out, correct?
Yeah, I mean, really, before I can really offer up any kind of assessment or analysis of quarterback, I got to know who's going to be there. And let's say it could go from both really incumbents, Spencer Petras and Alex Padilla both signed to look around, to both returning. And if they both look around, then they might be in the portal. They may be in the portal anyway. Because I think what we saw all year was without a running game, this was a really difficult passing attack anyway, and it made it really worse because you had young receivers, you had receivers who aren't here, who didn't really play that well, and a passing game that was very inconsistent in completion percentage, and that absolutely has to change. If you're in a pro-style offense, you cannot be below 60%, and they were at 55. But I think, let's say, just for the sake of, let's go with status quo. I mean, what do they do going in to spring football? Like, let's give them 3 months in advance. I think you open it up. I think you let everybody compete and compete as equally as you can in the spring. At the end of spring, maybe reassess it and say, okay, these are where things really stand now. But I don't know. I mean, you look at, you know, Petras had some ups and downs. People do. There are a lot of good parts of his game, and there's some parts of his game that has to improve. And has he gotten enough of an opportunity to where his improvement would be marginal, or do we just know what he is and you play to that, and or don't play at all? And I mean, I've heard a lot of really good things out of Joey Labins, the true freshman. Now, it's easy to get caught up in that. I wrote about him last week, but I've had enough people say, look, this guy's got it, and I, you know, IT in all capital letters. Like, he does some things on the practice field that you can't teach, that he's been a difficult matchup for the first team defense, which happens to be one of the best in the country, and makes plays. And a lot of people qualify and say, well, but they're off script and stuff. Well, maybe Iowa needs to get off script a little bit. Maybe they're too rigid in the way they call plays and don't let their quarterback do things. They need to have an athlete do something once in a while. And I think if Joey Labins can do that and maybe make you go, no, 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 okay, yes, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with having a little Brett Favre on your team. And if he can do that, let him give him 100% of a shot. If he can't, oh, well, he'll be – true freshman or redshirt freshman. If he can, maybe this takes that team from being pretty good to being really good next year.
Scott, personally, I don't think it's a good situation at quarterback, because for argument's sake, let's say the competition is open and Petras is still the quarterback. You still have a howling fan base and Petras is in a no-win situation. Talk me down on
that.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, that's a tough situation, and you wonder for Spencer. I'm only speculating here, but maybe it's not worth coming back. He's already got a degree from the University of Iowa, Big Ten institution, that maybe Iowa's not helping him grow either. Maybe Iowa's not the right place for him. If he wants to go to the next level, that there's maybe somebody out there who could help coach him up and put him in a better situation too, not just a one-way street on that. And if that's the case, then maybe he should explore his options. And like I said, I at the beginning, I think there was a lot of, you know, consternation and a lot of ripping going on Spencer Petras that I thought was a little unfair on Saturday. Yes, he did. He was the one who threw the costly interception. But I think that Iowa at times could have put in him a better position to win and execute. So maybe it's mutually beneficial for him to move on, because in that situation, you don't want the fans to hate your quarterback simply because he's your quarterback.
When all the dust is settled, what are you going to remember about the 2021 Iowa team? Double-digit wins, Big Ten Western Division champion. I thought it was a terrific year for Iowa. I did not expect anything like that to come down the line, even with you know, the offensive deficiencies, I guess we can say that they had. But how are you going to remember this team?
Yeah, I thought going in that they had a really good chance of winning the West Division. I thought the games that they would lose, frankly, would be Iowa State and Wisconsin. And I didn't know if that would put them in Indianapolis or not, but I thought that was kind of what I was looking at. And the fact that they got there, you know, kind of lived up to my initial expectations. However, in hindsight, watching the way the team competed, I think we can look at that team and say, yeah, that's probably about a 7 or 8 win team, and they were able to squeeze 10 out of it. That's saying something, especially that offense. So I think that the way that they started so strong and had some really big wins, Iowa State, you know, the Penn State win, I think the Indiana win was outstanding and kind of set the tempo for both teams. The way that they fell apart in the middle of the year, and then they rallied and won 4 really impressive, tough games in tough fashion. And I think that the resiliency is what I'll remember for this team, because getting to 10 wins is really an accomplishment for this program. It doesn't, it's happened, what, about 10 or 11 times historically, and I think we got to remember that. I went into this bowl game against Kentucky, and I thought that this is not the type of year where you look at this team and they absolutely had to win this bowl game to kind of justify itself. that I thought that the 10 wins spoke enough. And it wasn't like a few years ago, like against Boston College, they just absolutely needed to win that game. Or even against USC, that was such a statement. I thought, you know, whether with the Kentucky game, if they would have won or lost by three, I didn't think it would have defined their season that much, because I thought that they'd already accomplished so much with really so little on offense.
Going into next year, before we let you go, I think there are expectations now, especially with Moss coming back, the amount of starters that Iowa has coming back. The schedule does get a whole lot tougher next year, no doubt, but there are expectations for this team next year.
And there should be. I mean, I think this team is, the last 5 or 6 years has been, I mean, we saw that hiccup from about 2010 to 14, where they won, what, 34 and 30 over a five-year period. Now they're much better program now. So I would say that those expectations need to be there. And I think you'll see the same duo, Iowa and Wisconsin, being at or near the top of the list. They both have games, I believe, against Ohio State and Michigan. So or maybe Wisconsin plays Michigan State instead of Michigan next year. But either way, both of them have some difficult crossovers. Iowa plays Wisconsin at home, play Northwestern and Nebraska at home as well. So, you know, there's going to be some difficult situations for Iowa, but I think by and large, they're going to be so much better along the line of scrimmage. I mean, the offensive line really struggled until the final game, or last couple of games anyway. And I think when you saw the way they performed, that gives you some hope for a better year. And defensive line, to me, I think they're building the monster there. I mean, they showed it on against Kentucky, but I really think that redshirt freshman class that's come in and done a lot of rotating, I think that could be as good as that Claiborne, Benz, Daniels, Ballard, you know, group, Carl Klug from 2009 and 2010. So I think they're building a monster there. This will be a team that's got a lot of potential next year. It's got a tough schedule. But, hey, if you're playing Michigan at home, you know the fans are going to be ramped up for that. And, you know, it's 9 months away probably, because the schedule does have to get revamped a little bit. But I don't think – I think we'll be excited to watch it when it happens.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Hey, Scott, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it. I know you have a well-earned vacation this week. But thanks for the insight, and keep up the great work with The Athletic.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it, and hope to see you sometime this winter.
All right, sounds good. Scott Docterman joining us here on the Gym Class on a Wednesday here on KGYM. We're going to get you ready for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with Spencer and Alex again coming up today here in just a moment. But, Mark, yes, one of the great rivalries. I can't oversell this, Spencer. He's in here in the studio with me right now. I can't oversell this. Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by Mays City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest, and Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. It is always a special night, Mark, when the greatest rivalry in bowling gets together once again.
Well, at least locally, and at least on Wednesday nights in the adult evergreen, it is the Rusty Nails and Pen Pals. And one of the pen pals are already throwing shade on the text line. We shall see who retains, whether we retain or they acquire the Schmedium May City Bowl jacket tonight. Lanes 23 and 24 out there at May City Bowl. Rusty Nails in fifth place, trying to move up.
They even put us in a prime spot there, right as you come in, you know. People, you know, the overflow crowd will have some room tonight to settle in a little bit. So that's always good. Thanks to Tom and everybody at May City for having that foresight of doing that.
We'll have a recap tomorrow. And as always, you can go out and sample some open bowling. Check out the pro shop. Give them a call ahead of time, 362-0136. And you can visit the website as well, MayCityBowlCR.com.
Yep, we'll have a complete wrap-up coming up tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Coach Kevin Lehman will join us for our weekly Off the Glass segment. We'll take a look ahead at Iowa, Wisconsin tomorrow night, a look back at Iowa State and Texas Tech tonight, as well as you and I in Valparaiso. We'll get going here tonight, and that will be at 8 o'clock. Iowa State, Texas Tech at 7 o'clock tonight on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM with the play-by-play. And, yes, I reiterate with you, congratulations to our friend Gary Rima on getting his honor as far as FCS football is concerned. And, of course, Gary's last year of calling football and basketball for the Panther Network this year. So we wish him the best in retirement. All right, Mark, I'll keep you updated. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great night. We'll talk then.
All right, stay tuned. Spencer and Alex coming up next right here on KGYM.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, maybe.